All right. Good morning. How's everyone doing? All right. We're full house this morning. That looks good. Looks good. Even one. Yeah. We got to talk, though. We and him had a conversation the other day. We'll do that later, though. It's good. I'm just playing. So God's give us a great day, y'all. It's a beautiful day outside. He's brought us here, and I can't think of any other place I'd rather be this morning than right here. Set for heaven. Set for heaven, yeah. But while we're here, guess what? Let's make much of King Jesus. Does that sound good to y'all? The sad part about this morning is y'all are stuck with me, because unfortunately Jackie yesterday started getting sick. So he is, when I talked to him this morning, he is not doing good, is he, Renee? So y'all pray for Jackie, that short-lived and runs its course, and y'all pray for me. I'm not really going to lead you in music. We're going to play some videos later on. I do want to remind you about a few things that are happening this week. This is a pretty important week in the Christian faith. Today begins what we call Holy Week or Passion Week. And then, of course, you know next Sunday is Easter Sunday. I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday, but we're used to Easter Sunday. And, of course, next Sunday morning at the State Park at 7 a.m., will be the sunrise service. I've already checked the weather. It looks like it's going to be okay. So y'all pray for that. Pray that the rain that's coming Monday stays on Monday and doesn't come sooner. So at 7 a.m. we'll have the sunrise service, and then at 8:30 here, we'll have a breakfast, and then at 10:30 we'll have our normal Easter Sunday morning service. And I'm excited. And I don't know if you noticed, I did have the opportunity to finally put the colors on the cross. I don't know if you noticed that this morning. And let me, can I just share something real quick? Yep. Y'all ain't going anywhere anyway. When I got here to put the purple on the cross, there was some teenage boys playing basketball, and two of them walked over there and they said, "Why are you doing that?" Woo-wee! And I said, "Well, let me tell you a little bit about it." And they come to play basketball and saw a little old fat preacher on a ladder putting a purple sash on our cross in the yard, and then they got to hear about King Jesus. Amen. Isn't that great? Yeah. That's great. And you say, "Well, why do you want to share that with us?" Because that this week, y'all, this week that we call Passion Week, this week that we call Holy Week, it's all about King Jesus. It's all about King Jesus. I sort of want to go ahead and preach, and let's do the music at the end, but Brian says I got to wait. I pray that you have a great week. I pray that you allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, to remind you that this week, man, it's the most important week that we can spend in prayer and in celebration and in worship of King Jesus. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to stand. You're going to be familiar with the songs. One of them you're going to know. The other two you've probably heard on the Christian radios and things like that. But I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm just going to say it this way. You worship however the Lord leads you to worship, okay? Raise your hands if you feel like raising your hands. Clap if you want to clap. Cry if you need to cry. Come to the altar if you need to come to the altar. You know, we think sometimes, "Oh, we can't go to the altar until the preacher says come." Well, that's what I'm saying. It don't matter. If you just need to come talk to King Jesus, do it. Do whatever the Spirit leads you to do, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with an opportunity to to be in this building, in this place at this time. And Father, while we're here, I pray that you are pleased and you're honored with all that you see, all that we do, all that we say. Because God, you're so good to us. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us. Help us to be who you have created us to be in this place today. And Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. If you can stand, I just invite you to stand and worship King Jesus. So Father, we thank you again that you don't see us for who we are. And then you do. If you do, you say you're still good enough. So we thank you for that. And this morning, as we bend our hearts toward you, Father, we just lift all these requests that have been made up. We lift the praises up to you. And Lord, we just honor you. And we thank you. And we love you. And we know that if we'll listen, you'll tell us exactly what we mean to you. So God, I just pray that we can do the same thing to you. May we just express how much you mean to us. And Father, one of the ways we do that is we trust and we believe and we know that you're the only one that we can come to when we need comfort, when we need to be loved on, when we need to be cared for. So this morning, on behalf of Angie, Lord, we just ask that you will touch her ankle. Lord, that you'll begin to heal her quicker than what's expected. And Lord, just all along the way, speak to her in a mighty way and bless her, Lord, and just help her get back to normal. And God, I just want to thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Lord, I love it. I love it. And Lord, everybody in this room needs you in their life in some way, form, or fashion. So God, we just thank you for being here with us today. And Father, as we move now into our time of the time of our message, Lord, I just pray that it be your words. Lord, get me out of the way. And Lord, you share with us what you want us to hear in this place today. And again, Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you, King Jesus. Thank you. We love you. We honor you. And we pray all these things in your mighty, in your holy name. Amen. So if you're here, if you're going to go to Children's Church, I think Miss Diane's got it this morning. She's got a fun little activity planned. So normally I would begin by asking you to turn in your Bibles to a certain place, but the focal verse for this morning's message comes out of Matthew 20, and if you want to, you can go there, but I'm going to give you a lot of other scripture before we get to that. You know, I already mentioned it earlier. This week for us as Christians is a big deal, y'all. And if it's not, it ought to be. So this morning I want to talk to you about a week of purpose. you know, and God, I looked. You wouldn't look at my desk and think I'm as organized as I am in the background. But I look back, this is my sixth Easter, my sixth Palm Sunday and Easter message here at Mount Freedom. Wow, right? But I look back to see that the things that I have preached on in the past, and what I saw in that is just, man, God teaching me God moving me, God discipling me, and growing in that process. So as I begin today's message, I just want to encourage you to think seriously, okay, about this week. And I'm not asking you to just totally stop everything you're doing, but as you go through this week, know that each day is of this week is a day that Jesus got closer to the cross. And there's a purpose for that. There was a reason for that. But today stands as the first day of Passion Week. And if you prefer to call it Holy Week, you can call it Holy Week because you'll see it referred to in both manners. But it's the week of Jesus' death, His burial, His resurrection, and it's called this for two reasons. First, most people consider it as Passion Week because of the way Jesus managed the events of the week. And then passionately went to the cross, passionately went to the tomb, passionately fulfilled His purpose. But others understand this week's title to come from the meaning of the Greek verb pasco, which means, get this, to suffer. Now there are many events of the week, of this week recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. And those writers placed significant weight on this week. Why? Because this week is a big deal. It was a big deal then, and guess what? Several thousand years later, it's still a big deal. And again, I want to take a time out. If you've never considered Passion Week or Holy Week a big deal, you need to change your thought process. It is a big deal. It's perhaps the most, I'm just going to say it, it is the most important week in our life as Christians. Why? Because of what happened back then so that we can have a relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ today. It's important. It's important. You know, in Luke's gospel, 1/5 of his book, 20% of all his writing is about this week. John spends 8 of his 21 chapters, so 33% of his book, on this week. It's a big deal. It's important. So for Christians, beginning with today, Passion Week is supposed to be a time of remembrance and a time for praise. You say, gosh, all this stuff about death and burial and resurrection. Well, how can we find a way to praise in that? Because what Jesus did had a purpose. What Jesus did had a purpose. Traditionally on this day, which is commonly referred to as Palm Sunday, you'll come to church and you'll hear a message of celebration. Guess what? It focuses on Jesus' triumphal entry. His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, announcing himself as not just the Messiah, but as the true Savior King. And the Jewish people in attendance that day, they had heard prior to, and if you go read it and study it, you know he come into the city for several days in a row. So they knew that he would be coming back again on this day. And they had heard that he was coming, and in their anticipation, guess what happened? Their excitement grew. When's the last time your anticipation for Christ coming again allowed your excitement to grow? The people on that day knew Jesus was coming, and their excitement grew. And if you read the story of the triumphal entry, what does it say? And it depends on which account you look at, right? It says they took their cloaks off, or their coats. And what they do, they threw them on the ground. And in a couple of accounts, you read that they went to the fields nearby and they plucked what? Palm branches. And that's where we get the name Palm Sunday from. And then they threw those on the ground, right? So out of their excitement, they did these things. And it was part of Jewish tradition when a king entered into their presence, into their city, guess what? They would do those things. They didn't want their king doing what? Walking on dirt. After all, that was beneath a king. This was the moment they had waited all their life for. Finally, the warrior king was going to come once and for all and free them from their captor. And in this case, in that moment, guess what? It was the Romans. It was the Romans. But what a disappointment it must have been for many of them when Jesus turned the corner and he entered the city gate riding on a lowly, young, baby donkey instead of on a mighty white steed. What a disappointment it may have been when they looked and they saw that Jesus was clothed in just normal garments, not a weapon in sight. You know, one of the most unique statements made by Jesus also occurred during this time. Luke's account of this day's events informs us that even his closest disciples joined in on the shouts of praise. And true to their nature, the Pharisees criticized them for praising and worshiping Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? He rebuked them, didn't he? He rebuked the Pharisees. And he said these words, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." That comes out of Luke 19:40. But Jesus emphatically let the Pharisees know that he and he alone was worthy of all praise. As the King of Kings, he will get the praise he is worthy of. And if the people wouldn't praise him, the rest of his creation, to include, guess what? The rocks. Guess what they would do? They would worship him. They would worship him. Now talk about a statement that would have infuriated the Pharisees. At this point, guess what? Boy, they really did not like Jesus. They really did not like him. And along with Jesus' infuriating words to the Jewish religious rulers, the people's growing disappointment, and I say that, and you say, well, I don't read that in the Scripture. Well, even though the Scripture doesn't specifically mention their disappointment, we can infer from events just a few days later that their excitement and their offerings of praise on that day was actually disingenuous. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Mark's gospel. It'll be on the screen. We're just going to read 6 through 15, and you'll recognize this if you've been in church and you've heard these before. But this is what it says. "Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they ask." Now who is this? Pilate, right? Before this execution was going to take place, they would go and beg for one of their own to be released. "Now at the feast, he used to release them one prisoner for whom they asked, and among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, 'Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?' For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up." Pilate was off base, wasn't he? "But the chief priest stirred up the crowd." That's key. The chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. When I read that, when I read through that and I think about that, the only inference I can make is all those people shouting his praises a few days earlier didn't mean it. They didn't mean it. And they were easily influenced by their religious leaders. People who should or did have a full understanding of who Jesus is, guess what? They would have not been so easily swayed by those chief priests. I don't know, maybe it was disappointment, maybe it was something else, but perhaps it was that disappointment that allowed them to change their shouting from Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, to where we read here, crucify him, crucify him. Something else stands out to me about the events we find in Jesus' final week is that Jesus wasn't condemned and punished because of any crimes or for any sins he committed. Remember the words that Pilate asked the crowd? He says, surely you want your king, right? And they said, no. So, well, what has he done? He's not done anything. Why don't you want him? You want this murderer instead of this innocent man. And they said, what? Crucify him. Crucify him. So Jesus wasn't sentenced to death by decision of the governmental rulers of that day. After all, they found no fault in him. Instead, he was sentenced to death on the cross because of the cries of his own people. Of his own people. They just didn't understand, did they? They just didn't believe him. And when I think about this, I also see this as a warning for us today. Y'all, we got to guard our hearts from being so easily swayed by the ways of man. Because that's what happened to the people, wasn't it? The religious rulers who really, at this point, didn't like Jesus. You know what they did? They went before the crowd and they said, yeah, this guy's no good. He's not who he says he is. And they began to spread that this way, and they began to spread it this way, and they began to spread it that way. And before long, guess what happened? The crowd that was shouting, Hosanna, is now standing before Pilate going, crucify, crucify. In a matter of days, folks, that's a warning for us. If we let the enemy get his little toe or his foot in the door, and we don't do something about it, we don't guard against it, we don't ask God to help us get rid of him, then how long will it take before we might sway a different way? You know, people today are not much different than people back then. We are too easily influenced by our emotions, by our feelings, by our wants, by our self-pleasing desires. And many times we'll choose sin over the Savior. So church, we got to guard against such things. Choose the Savior over the sin. Hidden also in all of this is God's original plan. Now, I just mentioned two remarkable events from what is properly considered Passion Week, which if you think deeply about, actually stands as the central theme for the entirety of the Bible. The plan for man's salvation is established from the very beginning, foretold through the prophets, fulfilled by Jesus during the events of this week we're talking about. And then after that is continually echoed today. How? Through His Word. And more specifically, through the apostles' writings. Let us never forget that Jesus was the plan from the very beginning. He was the plan from the very beginning. God knew that mankind would fail miserably and would chase after the desires of the flesh. Didn't surprise him. God knew it. You remember these words from Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God predicted that the seed of the woman, who we know is who? Jesus, would bruise the head of the serpent, who we know is who? Satan. He predicted that. Guess what? That's a foreshadowing of Christ's death and resurrection. And then the prophets foretold the passion in more vivid detail. So I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah. It's going to be on the screen. But the prophets told of this in a little more detail. Because they described the Lord as a sacrificial lamb. Isaiah 52, beginning in verse 13, says this: "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and is one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offering. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Whew. Man, can I just back up and say this one more time? This week is a big deal. What Jesus did on your behalf, on my behalf, it's a big deal. And it was the plan from the very beginning. And if you go and you study the Passion Week, what you'll find in there is everything that happened was part of that plan. God had a purpose. God had a reason for everything that occurred. All the mocking, all the questions, the beating, all of that was part of the plan. And you say, well, why would God do such a thing? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And he knows that your heart would be bent to self and not to him. And he understood that he had to make a way for you to be rescued out of that, to be saved from that. You know, Jesus himself, and this was our central verse that I said we would eventually get to, but Jesus himself explained that his death as ransom for many was his purpose. So Jesus, in this one verse, gives us the purpose, the reason, the idea, the thought behind God's original plan. And what does he say? "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. The other part of the plan is in how man deals with it. You see, Jesus taught that we must willfully choose Him through repentance from sin and the asking of forgiveness for those sins. And I've often heard, boy, we just, you know, you don't hear preachers talk about repentance and sin anymore. You know why? You know why? Because it don't make people feel good. But I want to give you an honest truth about repentance and sin. We will claim to repent and then ask for forgiveness, but what we really want is the forgiveness and not the repentance. That word repentance means, hey, I have sinned. I recognize that sin. I acknowledge that that is a sin against man as well as it is, most importantly, a sin against God. And because I acknowledge that and I recognize that, I don't want to do it anymore. So true repentance means I'm going to do my best, God, to stop doing that. And then comes the asking of forgiveness. So often we think, well, I'm going to repent because that's what the Bible tells me I need to do in order to get the forgiveness. And God's faithful, He's good. He says, hey, if you ask me of those things, guess what? I'm going to give you those things. But you got to do your part. He's going to do His part. He's going to forgive you. Matter of fact, the purpose of Him going to the cross was so what? You could be forgiven so that you could stand one day before God, before the Father, and instead of Him seeing you as unrighteous, He sees you because of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ and all the work on the cross and all the work on the tomb as what? Righteous, right standing. What is your part? When you say, hey, I want to repent, you got to mean it. And you got to follow through on it. Easier said than done, right? Can I just be honest with you? If you truly believe in your salvation, and you believe that it's genuine, then guess what you get? You get with that the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know one of the biggest things that the power of the Holy Spirit can do for you is in those moments where you're trying to repent and you just can't seem to do it. If you turn it over to the Holy Spirit, He'll do what? He'll say, you got this. Let me help you get this. John in his gospel reminds us of Jesus' words where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Make no doubt about it, Passion Week is all about the fulfillment of God's plan. Make no doubt about it, the only way to conquer your sin and be saved from that said sin is to give your heart to Jesus Christ. That's it. How many of you ever had one of those sins and you say, I got this, I can do this on my own? I'm not asking you to share now, but if you want to later, you can let me know. But how did that go? Usually not so good. It might go good for a short period of time, but in the long run, when we try to handle it ourselves, it usually doesn't go very well. The only way to truly conquer that is what? You got to believe in the plan. You got to believe in the reason. You got to believe in the events of this week. Because God did all those things to His Son, by the way, to His Son, so that we'd have an opportunity to be right. I gave you a message last week about righteousness. And even I, last week, didn't understand why all of a sudden, here, I want you to preach on righteousness. Because God was teeing it up. For Passion Week. The only way you'll ever stand righteous before an almighty God is if you've allowed yourself, you've given yourself to the washing and the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you believe it, you accept it, and you walk in it. Not just today, but every day. Every day. I put this with an exclamation point because I thought, you know, maybe, I don't know, I thought maybe it would be one of those moments where the Spirit got on me and I'd yell at you or something. I'm not going to yell. But I want you to hear this. Repent. Turn from your sin. Repent. Turn from your sin and follow Him. Follow Him. That's the only way you'll stand righteous before an almighty God. And then Jesus goes on to call His followers, or ask His followers to do what? Look at these verses. Take up their crosses daily in sacrificial service. And He said to all, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself. See, that's the key to repentance, guys. It's one thing to say, hey, I know that's a sin, and I know it's harmful to me, right? It's one thing to say that, but when you deny yourself of that pleasure, of that want, that desire, this is what Jesus is talking about. He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. Boy, we love the life we have most of the time. We love the world we live in. And guess what? There's some awesome, great things in this world. They are. But you know what? It's just like those religious leaders to that crowd that day. The things in the world say, he ain't really who he is. He ain't really going to help you. This is better for you. That's hooey, y'all. It's junk. It's Satan using the things in this world to get you riled up. And to try to turn your heart away from Christ instead of toward Christ. And Jesus says, hey, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? So why is it I felt it necessary to point these things out to you? I just want you to place a higher significance on this coming week. I think I said this already. It's a big deal. It's important. And don't treat the coming week as just any other week. That's easy, isn't it? We look and we say, oh, well, I got to do this. 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 And before you know it, it'll be Easter Sunday morning. And you'll be like, oh, I forgot we got sunrise service. And you'll be stressing out and blah, blah, blah. All the stuff. Y'all know how it goes. Go into this week saying, you know what, I can't wait till next Sunday morning. Go into this week saying, you know what, I don't care if that happens or not. My focus is on Jesus this week. My focus is on remembering all that He's done for me. My focus is on celebrating Him for that, worshiping Him for that, honoring Him for that. And hey, not just next Sunday morning, but every day this week, let it be important to you. Because guess what? It is. It is. Don't just see the events of Passion Week as things from the past, because these past events are the most momentous events ever recorded. If you accept them as truth, they can be the most impactful events of your life. When you read those stories in the Gospel about Passion Week, and you read that Jesus went into the temple and run money changers out, right? What was He doing in that moment? What was He doing in that moment? He was establishing His authority. When's the last time you allowed His authority to be established in your life? In other words, the Bible says your body ought to be what? A temple to the Lord. Guess what? When's the last time you let the Lord come in and clean it up? Read those things with a different mindset. Read those things with a different understanding of the purpose behind it. Everything Jesus did, everything Jesus is doing, everything Jesus is going to do in the future, guess what? He did those, and He's going to do those with you in mind. And when you change your thought to that, I promise you this week will be important. It'll be important. But if you accept all those things as truth, they can be very impactful. Embrace the fact that Jesus truly did enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, knowing that he was about to suffer Pasco. Much. Not a little bit. He was going to suffer much on your behalf for you. And as the week progresses, allow your heart to celebrate next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, in a powerful way. You know, I think we show up sometimes on Easter expecting all the pomp and circumstance, right? Because after all, it's Easter. And I can remember as a little kid, part of that pomp and circumstance is we would go shopping and get those bright green suits and pink shirts and yellow ties. Look, can I just tell you this? Can I just say this? Come next Sunday morning and be the pomp and circumstance. Worship Him. Allow this week to bring you here next Sunday on cloud 9 because of Jesus Christ. And look, I'm not making fun of how people dress, none of that stuff. But God don't care about what you're wearing. He cares about what you're carrying right here. Can I just say this? He's alive, y'all. So you can live. And if that don't get you excited about what we're going to celebrate next week, this week, I need to check your pulse. I got nurses all over this room. They'll check your pulse. I want to challenge you to this week to go back and study Passion Week. The gospel writers knew it was important. That's why they spent so much time on it. They knew the events of it had purpose, had meaning. Big deal. Go back and study those things. Go and study Paul's teaching in a lot of places too, and I want to mention one of them to you. But Paul's words to the followers in Galatia, I want to challenge you to study these words. And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you live a life in the manner that Paul suggests right here. Paul, in speaking to them, this is what he said. I have been crucified with Christ. Do you realize that that's a very true statement? That your sins went to the cross with Jesus. You say, well, how can that be? I wasn't alive back then. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It was for past sins, present sins, and future sins. Let me put it this way, all sins of man. It says, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You want a motto for your life? That ought to be it right there. I'm just being honest with you. If you can't do it for the rest of your life, hey, this week's a good week to walk around saying, you know what? It's Christ that lives in me. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't know how you came. Does that make sense this morning? I don't know what you came carrying or not carrying. I don't know how you showed up this morning, but I know this. If you will leave here in love with Jesus Christ, you'll leave with something great. You'll leave with the best thing ever. Not just today, but ever. And I've said this before, I hate sometimes as a pastor, you feel like you're begging people, you're begging people, you're begging people. I'm not begging you. I'm not begging you, I'm just giving you the truth. Jesus, all the things that occurred to him this week, he did because of you. He did because of me. He did for the Jew, he did for the Gentile. Our part is we got to accept it. We got to believe it, and then we got to follow it all the time. And I pray that you'll be like Paul. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And make a big deal out of him. You know why? Because he needs to have us make a big deal out of him in the world we live in. That's what Easter really ought to be about. That's what it really ought to be about. We're going to play a song of invitation. I'm going to invite you to stand. The words will be on the screen. But listen, I don't know where you're at, but don't leave here without a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you say, well, I don't know how to do that, that's okay. That's okay. Come and talk to me, and I'll help you figure it out. Okay? If you're here and you're already saved, and you just say, you know what, man, I want to drink what the preacher's drinking. You can do that too. You just got to decide that that's what you truly want. Will you stand and sing this song and come do business with Jesus if you need to?
The Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Soul to save, and my lips shall still repeat.
All right, amen. Will you be seated for just a moment, please? We have more reason to celebrate, y'all. So Mr. Willard and Donna have decided that they want to be like us and be crazy for Jesus and come join us here in doing so. And I just ask them to stand right where they're at. I've talked to them. They've read through our bylaws, and they agree with all that legal stuff. But we want to welcome them this morning to our church family. So we're going to do that, and afterwards y'all can come by and speak to them. And then Mr. Colby, I told Colby he had to actually come up here. Colby's been coming since you moved up here, basically.
Yeah, 3.5 years.
3.5 years, and he realized a couple weeks ago.
I know.
He realized a few weeks back when, I believe it was when Randy and Suzanne joined. He said, you know what, I ain't never really, done that. And so we talked about it, and so he's coming too. He says, you know what, I live here, and I've been coming here, and why not just make it official and be a part? So Kobe's part of our family as well, already has been, but now it'll be like official, official. But I saw another hand. All right, so stand up. So we got another one. But, I've been asked before, why is membership important? Why is it important? In reality, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you already got membership. But membership here at Mount Freedom means that you want to be a part of what God is doing in this place. And you see that he's doing big things. And you just want to, in whatever way you can, be a part of that. Right? And these folks have come to do that. And it's awesome, y'all. It's awesome. It's the greatest thing, right, that we can do in this community is align ourselves with fellow believers that are going in this direction and keep it moving in that way. Yes, ma'am. All right. I'm almost scared to ask anybody else. We keep going, we might get one of them plaques, y'all. I'm just playing. Look, God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But look, we say that, and it's almost repetitive, right? But don't let that be a cliche. Let that be the truth. Let that be real. Let that be what leads you and guides you. And I promise you, if you allow this week, this Passion Week, to be what it really is about for you personally in your life, man, you'll have one of the greatest weeks. One of the greatest weeks, I'll say this, that you've probably ever had. Because it'll be all about who? Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, if we're going to be Christian, that's what it's got to be about. That's what it's got to be about. Okay? I'm going to ask them to come and stand right here. Okay? We're going to pray over them, and we're going to pray, and we're going to dismiss. And, hey, come by and welcome them officially to the family. And Miss Linda, you're going to get writer's cramp, but y'all raise your hand. Say Miss Linda right there, and she'll get the information she needs. And if you haven't already given that to her, and we'll take care of all the paperwork stuff. Does that sound good? It's about time.
I just can't get the other one here.
We'll work on that. All right, can we pray, y'all? Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that you are so good. Thank you, God, that you're at work in our lives and you're leading us in a great direction, the best direction, an awesome direction. And Lord, I pray that as we go here, go from here today, that this week will become just as important to us as it was to you. And may we never forget Jesus. How awesome, how great you truly are. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us, teach us. Help us fight those sins that just we can't seem to let go of. Give us the courage and strength to truly repent and move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for all these that are come to join us and be a part of our family here at Mount Freedom. Lord, you've blessed my heart today. So I pray that you'll bless them in the days ahead. And Lord, use them. Use their talents. Use the gifts that you've given them. Not just for here, but for your kingdom. And Father, may we give you all praise, honor, and glory. And as we go, we just want to say we thank you, we love you, and we praise you. And it's in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and under the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray these things. Amen.